Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to History Dweebs. I am Tim. I am joined, as always, by my good friend Charles. Charles, are you there?
I'm here, Timmy.
And my good friend Brandy. Brandy, are you there?
I am.
We are doing this from a secret location that we cannot tell you because then you would know.
Well, but I don't think we know, do we?
No. I don't know where you're at.
Exactly.
I'm in my secret bunker, Timmy.
Well, sure. Today we're going to talk about the mysterious death of Diane Linklater. Now, those of you under the age of 70 are probably wondering, who the hell is Diane Linklater? Well, she was, the daughter of a famous TV personality, Art Linklater, and we're going to get into that story. But before we do, I would like to remind all of you that we are a comedy podcast. We use adult language. And if adult language offends you, then we would suggest that you try.
Go fuck yourself.
Well, I was going to suggest that they try one of the other fine independently produced podcasts out there, like our good friends with Already Gone.
Timmy, I don't want to put any more pressure on you than you already have. Nina contacts me now and again, just checking in with me. Tell me to keep my options open, Timmy.
I understand you're doing...
I think Nina may...
I understand you've done a reading for Already Gone, Charles.
I have done a reading for her before, Timmy. I have done one.
Now, is this on the podcast, or are you, like, telling her future, or what's that all about?
Well, I've done a little bit of both. At DweebCon, Nina, I have mentored her, Timmy.
You've mentored her.
Mentored her.
Yeah, well, that's good. I'm sure she appreciates that, Brandy.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And we have Ben and Rosanna at their podcast.
Yeah, they walk among us. They have been down under, Colonel.
They have.
The last couple of weeks.
I wouldn't go down there for no reason, Timmy.
It's on fire.
No reason whatsoever.
It's on fire, Brandy.
Well, and everything down there can kill you.
Yes. Let me introduce...
The world's ending, Timmy. The world's ending.
You know, I think you might be right, actually. Let me introduce our panel. I am joined, as always, by the very lovely and talented, a woman who is really of royal blood, a woman who is known throughout the land as Brandy the Benevolent, because she is very benevolent. Thus the name... Her Majesty Queen Brandy the First. How are you, Brandy, if at all?
I'm not good, Timmy.
Well, what's wrong, Brandy?
Is that all you ever got to say? I'm not good, Timmy. you're making our listeners sad, devil.
Oh my God.
Try to find something. I'm gonna get you a positivity journal. Every day I want you to wake up and write down five things you're grateful for, and one of them 5 days a week is easy. You get to come in and see me, devil.
I thought a positivity journal was...
That's not it.
I thought you were supposed to list things that you tested positive for, but Brandy, what is wrong, if at all?
Well,
and make it quick. We don't like a lot of brandy time. People complain about brandy time.
They don't. But, no, I've had a hell of a week, Timmy, but let me just say that the culmination kind of how my how I'm going right now is that, you know, I had a boot on because I broke my foot, and so I had this boot on. And
that was kind of sexy, Devil. It was sexy.
I know. Well, and it was, you know, it was a pain in the ass or whatever. So I got it off like Monday. They told me I didn't have to wear it anymore. And it's okay, great, you know. And then Wednesday, I believe, I broke my little toe on that foot. So
was this alcohol related again?
It was not. It was not. It was just me, you know, stubbing it.
Okay.
It on the.
You believe that that one, Charles?
So
is Devil. I now
what
you know we're friends, Devil, and we care about you. Yeah. But we got to do what the hospital does when you keep showing up in the emergency room. Is there anything domestically going on and Dave's got a fetish with feet?
No.
Or are you kicking him?
No.
Yeah, are you kicking Dave when he's sleeping? What you doing there?
No, neither one of those things. I'm just evidently I need to wear a cone.
Is Dave
or
in
something.
A safe environment?
Dave is fine. Dave is in a safe environment. He's good.
Does he feel safe?
Yes, he feels safe. He's fine.
I don't believe that.
Well, how is your pneumonia, Brandy?
Well, I don't have pneumonia. I have this weird sinus thing. I started doing a neti pot, which is completely weird and not my favorite thing in the world to do. And so,
I love me a neti pot. I love it. It just clears all the stuff out. Your mind's clear. Your thoughts are clear. Everything's clear.
I don't know. I feel like I'm going to drown. So I
don't be the little baby that uses. That powder, Devil, put some whiskey and salt in there, Devil.
Oh, yeah.
It'll clear you up in no
time.
I bet
it would. Yeah, that would clear it right up.
Well, that was a lot of brandy time, Colonel.
Was. That was an awful lot of brandy time, Timmy.
Well, I hope Thanks. You're feeling better there, Brandy. Don't break any more bones. And
well,
let's
I know,
move
it's
on.
Like bird bones.
Well, I would ask you some follow-up questions, but most of our listeners wouldn't care. So let me introduce a man who is really needs no introduction, Brandy. He is a man who has been considered the most dangerous man in podcasting today, a man who is a best-selling author. He has
had to make love to a woman.
He has a he's best known perhaps for his contributions to the phone sex industry. A man who
what?
Is
How did that come about?
In these troubled times, Brandy, we look for answers, and he's been described as an oasis in the desert of despair. I'm talking about, of course, the Honorable, the Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Walters III, affectionately known, Brandy, as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm doing good, Timmy.
Well, see, you
unlike the devil over there,
you bring some positivity to this podcast. I'm going to have to add that to your introduction, Colonel.
I do. I this week, mostly what I was working on, well, you know, you can't read the news about, and we stay off politics in this podcast, but there was a similarity between our podcast and what's going on in the world, Timmy, this week.
Both are disasters.
I'm sitting in my office. Well, yeah, I'm sitting in my office, and Brandy comes into my office, drops these papers on my desk, and you might not even notice. But, you know, because we're a three-person podcast, we have our own system of checks and balances, right?
Right.
And Brandy brought in articles of impeachment against you, Timmy.
I did not know that.
Me either.
Yeah, she tried to make a coup. She tried to make a coup. But I, you know what I did, Timmy? I shot it down.
Thank you. You're sort of my Mitch McConnell.
I am your Mitch McConnell, Timmy.
Chins included.
I am your Mitch McConnell. Well, I'm your Huckleberry, Timmy, so I protected you.
Thank you, Colonel. I don't know why you would do that, Brandy. That's terrible.
Wow. First of all,
it was a coup, Timmy.
First
it
of
was
all,
a coup.
He keeps saying coup. The word is coop.
We like
it. Dropped that, off like a chicken coop.
No, a car is a coop.
A chicken coop is a coop.
An overthrow is a coup, devil.
Yes,
I do like the spelling, though.
I know you had to sleep with your civics teacher, devil, but it's a coup when you try to overthrow a government. A chicken lives in a coop.
I just want to make
a car is a coop.
That's all I was looking for. I just wanted to make a chicken coop.
So you were actually not planning a coup. You were planning a coop.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what? Now, I apologize, devil. I did not realize you was going to go get Timmy a car. I thought you was trying to get him out of the podcast.
First of all.
That's my fault.
So. God. You know what? If I thought Timmy would drive a car, I would absolutely get him one. Hmm. If I thought he would actually go out on the road and drive a car.
No. I do not want to drive.
You know, I don't know if many of our listeners... Timmy has a few peccadillos, and one of them is just a few years ago, Timmy just said, fuck it, I don't feel like paying for car insurance, and just quit driving.
I have a disability. All right. Speaking of disabilities. Speaking of disability,
Jesus,
our good friend Charles.
Wait a minute.
Our good friend Charles, you know, Brandy was upset at work this week, as you know.
Yeah,
and he came to my office, and he said, "I'm getting an FMLA statement." So I tell Brandy this, and what was your response, Brandy?
For fucking what?
She said, "What for what?"
Yes, I don't know,
crazy. I got so many disabilities, Timmy. You people have no idea of the challenges I face every day.
Oh yeah, we do. Oh, believe me.
But you know what I'm into now, Timmy? You know what I'm into, and I'm gonna it's not a multi-level marketing scheme. I'm not trying to sell you anything except my book.
He's into essential oils.
To a woman. Is essential oils and aromatherapy to me.
And how did that go? How did that go yesterday, Colonel, or Friday?
Well, it went well. I sat in my office and I was calm and I was peaceful until they came in and said, "You're not allowed to have those." And then it killed my bliss, Timmy. It just ruined my buzz.
He was back to get the FMLA statement. I heard he was on the computer.
I was getting the paperwork filled out already, Tony. I was going to go to my goddamn doctor. They told me I couldn't have one. I said, I'll get a goddamn doctor's note. I get FMLA. I will take this whole goddamn county down over a diffuser. Now, is this the hill you all want to die on?
You want to burn incense in your office. Let's settle down.
So I'm going to, you know, we had a meeting. We had a meeting on Friday, and we were both supposed to give presentations. Well, Chuck gets up in the middle of his and pretends he has a phone call and leaves. And he tells the woman who is coordinating all this that I'm going to go over his part, right? Now, I'm not going to go over his fucking part, but he sets me up like that. So we're in, he's telling me.
I didn't even go.
I'm in his office later, and he's telling me all the virtues of his, aromatherapy. So I got our boss and someone to come over and tell him that he couldn't have that. I guess he had a meltdown.
Yeah. That was a pretty good one, Timmy. You got me.
We just wanted to test it, Colonel, to see if it was working. If you remaining calm, and I don't think it passed. I don't think
you need to up your. You need to
well,
up that.
I think
a little
it
bit.
Worked in the fact that I didn't throw it through the window and say "fuck every one of you," but. It was a little disturbing.
I'm glad you're calmer now, Colonel.
You know what else I got? I'm trying all these crazy things because I've finally been broken down. You know, I do the other podcast.
Yeah, Spies.
Sometimes the Spy was with Karen Michelle, and she's a crazy hippie, Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if you have like like with you, Devil, you know, your stress fracture on your foot.
Yeah.
She'd tell you just put some vetiver oil on your skin. It'll heal it up in 2 days.
Well.
You know, she's one of those crazy people.
Right.
But some of it does work. And, you know, I'm particularly fond of jasmine, Timmy.
I didn't know that, Colonel.
Jasmine is soothing.
Well, I'm glad that you're...
Keep strippers in your office.
Well, okay.
I'm glad you're feeling better, Colonel. I'm glad you found, you know, a good place. I'm glad you're in a good place now.
All right. Can we talk about Diane Linkletter?
Let's do it. Brandy, this is probably, you probably don't remember Diane Linkletter because you were already old, but
nope.
Colonel, do you remember Art Linkletter?
I do remember Art Linkletter being famous for nothing, Timmy.
Well,
the guy did nothing.
He was a radio star back in the radio days, and he was a star on television in the 60s, 1960s. And he was he did a show with kids, and he was this kind of a family values type of guy. Although he wasn't really, I don't think of him as like a real, you know, a lot of times the family value folks can be a little condescending. Yeah.
He wasn't a religious values guy. He was more of a arrogant, not arrogant. He was a condescending old man, really.
He was a comedian. He wasn't really condescending. He came across
too goddamn funny.
Oh my gosh! But you need to know about Art Linkletter. Look it up on Wikipedia, or we're going to tell you a little about it.
Right. Well, he was an author. He wrote a lot of books on children and family, and he had a TV show. Well, anyway. His daughter, Diane Linkletter, this was the 1960s, of course. It was the counter culture. It was the Vietnam War was going on. Civil rights movement was going on. Well, when Diane Linkletter, the daughter of famed TV personality Art Linkletter, died of an apparent overdose in 1969, middle America was shocked, Brandy. Shocked, I say.
She died in 69?
Yeah. Okay. Not due in 69. She died in 1969.
That's why I said died in 69. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
She died during a 69.
And her...
You got to be careful with that, Timmy. You got to be careful with that.
Especially if you're doing it with a cannibal. Just saying.
Exactly.
Jesus.
Well, anyway, Diane's death...
I cover that in my book, Timmy.
To you, sex with cannibals? 16.
No, avoiding cannibals, but just, you know, the proper positioning and things like that.
I think it's it's not that difficult.
Well, you get in the wrong position, you got a butt right in your face. You don't want that.
And you can develop neck problems with that shit.
Damn right you can. God. Especially, you know, and I feel for you, Timmy, because I can only imagine you being the Mickey Mantle of Cunnilingus, you get a lot of writhing and pressure pushed back against your neck, right?
Well,
you got to keep yourself in shape.
I am a changed man. But anyway, let's move on.
So you're no longer an expert?
Well, I am an expert, of course. You don't lose that. Okay. You know, it's
like
kinda,
riding a bike.
But you know, I'm older now, Colonel. It's, you know, I got bad knees. It's a thing.
Oh, my God. It is a thing.
You know how Mickey Mantle was late in his career. He could barely make it up to the plate. He was,
you know, and it was a shame because he could still knock him out of the park if you could just get him. And he couldn't run. He could knock him out of the park, but he couldn't run around the bases, Tim.
Well, that's,
it was a shame to watch.
That's where I'm at, Colonel. Anyway.
Oh, my God.
You had your seasons, Timmy. You had your seasons.
Yeah.
There's a plaque somewhere of Timmy.
Oh my God!
In the Cunnilingus Hall of Fame.
There is
it's
a.
In Las
there
Vegas.
Is a. Anyway, let's go on to Diane Linkletter. Okay, her death became proof to many that drugs, Brandy, as you are familiar with, were leading to the decay of society. Your thoughts on that, Colonel?
Well, I think a little pharmaceuticals are good for society, Timmy. I'm trying to think of a world. Think about what the United States would look like if there were no Prozac or Xanax, Timmy.
Oh, it would not
it'd be a goddamn
It would not be a pretty place.
Pharmaceuticals.
It would not
be
a pretty place.
Fucking Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome out there, Timmy.
Anyway.
So I'm for pharmaceutical. I'm going to go see this week if I can't get my medical marijuana card, Timmy.
Well, I think you should, Colonel, because you need to be, you need to calm down.
If you do, you know, let me know. I need some things.
Okay, get you some gummy bears, devil.
There you go. All right.
Art Linkletter, how come he has nothing wrong with him, yet he's got more Xanax than, you know, God?
Well, honey, who said there was nothing wrong with him?
I'm just as fucked up as he is, and my doctor won't give me shit.
Well,
he's getting medical marijuana. He's getting Xanax. He's probably getting a Percocet, too.
You're the one who's trying to wean himself off a half a pill of Xanax, so I don't want to hear it.
No, I'm off of Xanax. I've been off of that for a year. Anyway.
You know they come in 6-milligram tablets to me.
Jesus Christ.
6-milligram tablets. Wait,
for horses? I mean, it's going to take a 6-milligram of Xanax.
Know. Do you?
I'm pretty much immune to them, but a 6-milligram will probably put me on my ass.
Do you remember that, Chuck, when he was weaning himself off like a half a milligram?
I do.
I had to stop taking them because my doctor just cut me off, like totally. It's one day, he said, oh, you don't need these anymore. What the fuck? I've been taking them for 20 years.
Well, never
20
mind
years.
It's like he,
oh,
it's
you
like
don't
he
need
never
these.
Met you. It's like he never met you.
But why would you prescribe something for 20 years and then just say, oh, you don't need these anymore?
Get a new
doctor.
I mean,
don't you taper? I don't know. Anyway.
I don't think you really taper off 0.25 milligrams to me. I think you tapered yourself pretty well.
0.5. I mean 1.5.
Shit, I was at 5 milligrams a day one time to me. That
was fucking draggy.
I was like the Rick James of.
Oh Jesus!
Why do you need marijuana?
Rick James, bitch.
Who needs marijuana, Timmy?
Why do you need an aromatherapy if you're taking 6 milligrams of Xanax a day?
The scary thing is, it's not the Xanax. Clearly, is not working.
Well, the thing is,
and he carries them around with him like he's going to have an emergency where he needs a whole bottle of Xanax.
You know what though? No,
well, no,
I'm not even mad at
him. The barter system.
He's my supplier.
You never know when you're gonna. That's right. You never know when you're gonna run across a good trade. It's like you know somebody, for instance, might have chocolate covered pretzels in their office, and. You know, it's like, hey, I'll give you a Xanax for 20 of those pretzels.
That's not a
so,
good trade.
You know.
I should have held out for my Trazodone that I traded you.
Oh, I got bottles of that stuff. I love it.
Do you really? You use it for sleep?
Yep.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
You know, I'll tell you what. I as everybody know, we all have, on this show, have mental health issues. And so we're medicated
about.
For it.
I think that's self-evident. I don't really think we have to disclose that.
So I don't know what it was, but my doctor, you know, changed. He tweaked my meds a little bit, Timmy, for the depression and said, now this one, you know, take it early in the evening because it might make you a little sleepy. Friday night, Timmy, I slept 13 hours. It was the first time I took it. I slept 13.
Man.
I went to bed at 11 p.m. and woke up at noon.
Yeah.
It felt better than I felt. It cured me. One pill cured me, Timmy.
Cured you? Doubt it.
I don't think you're cured. Anyway, let's talk about Art Linkletter. He led, because of his daughter's death, which he decided was drug-related, he led an anti-drug campaign that he was good friends with Ronald Reagan in the 1960s and 1970s. And he led, this would eventually lead to the Reagan administration's war on drugs.
Just say no.
However, there are serious questions whether drugs played any role at all in the death of Diane Linkletter. So let me tell you about Art Linkletter. He was a Canadian-born American radio and television personality. He's from Canada, Colonel.
Yeah, and there's really no such thing as a Canadian-born American, Timmy.
They're Canadian.
If you're born over in that tainted, godforsaken land, you are always one of them.
Well, Art Linkletter was host of House Party, which ran on CBS Radio and then later in CBS Television for 25 years. And the TV show People Are Funny, which aired on NBC Radio and then on television for 19 years. So he was a fixture, Brandy, on American television in the 1950s, 1960s, and even into the 1970s. One popular feature on House Party, the House Party program, was a segment that was called Kids Say the Darndest Things. It's where Linkletter talked to kids, had him say the darndest things, and of course he went on to write a series of books by that title. And it was, you know, it was very popular in a more innocent America, Brandy.
You know, I have to, this reminds me of something, and this is a true story, and kids say the darndest things. Now, I don't know if you would call a 24-year-old a kid, but one of my kids said the darndest things. I never thought I would hear this come out of somebody's mouth, but we're walking through this, we're at a restaurant eating because the boys were in town. And Renee's mother was talking about going to school and getting a degree that will help you get a job. And she said to Taylor, my son, I don't know why you would have got one in philosophy. And Taylor, just before he could think and catch himself, just said, fuck you, Grandma.
I'm sure.
He wasn't joking. He was mad. Fuck you, Grandma. I laughed so hard. I said, you know, that's a term I never really thought I would hear just blurted out at the table at Frisch's. Fuck you, Grandma.
Well, kids do say.
But they do say the darndest things, Timmy. Fuck you, Grandma.
Well, in 1933, Art Linkletter married Lois Forster. The couple would have 5 children. The couple wrote books and made television appearances promoting, quote-unquote, family values. In the 1950s, the Linkletters became major investors in and promoter of the hula hoop and made a small fortune off the toy. Art Linkletter also earned millions by promoting the Game of Life. I think it was by Parker's brother, was it not, Brandy? Or
I think so.
It was
Milton Bradley, maybe.
I don't know, but yeah,
it was. You know, in that game, Timmy, you got a head start, but if you didn't go to college, you were never going to win.
Yeah, I mean,
impossible to win that game without going.
I think that was the whole lesson of the Game of Life, wasn't it? You had to go to college, and you had to put those little kids in the car,
people in your car,
yeah.
You'd have a kid.
A pink one and a blue one.
Yeah.
I wonder if they have like.
But you know what I never got about that, Timmy?
Transgender little pegs now.
Yeah, a little peg.
Yeah, they should.
Like a JPEG, a they peg. You know what I never got about life, though?
What?
Is the winner of that game was the first one to get to the end.
Well, no, it was the first one to get to the end who had the most money. I mean, you had to. You could all get to the end, but whoever had the most money won, which is kind of a fucked up lesson when you think about it.
It is a very bad lesson. As long as I can die very quickly, but as long as I got more shit than you, I win.
Exactly. Yeah, I remember you had to go to that little bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just didn't like that game. I thought it taught my kids.
Yeah, it doesn't
teach. Not good values.
No, it's like whoever had the most money, you won. You win in life.
Right. It's like, yeah, you might have more money, but I got a lot of life left here.
I got a lot of kids in the car.
And you know, the
remember
other
you
thing
had
is
to sell
too,
your you had to sell your kids at the end.
You did. You cashed your kids in, and you know what they never understood about that game is once you reach the end, you've reached the end of life, so you're dead. So I get your shit.
Yeah, it was it was not the best lesson to learn, Brandy. That game. And the 19
had the cool little spinny thing in the middle.
Yeah, had a little spin thing. In the 1960s, Linkletter started a dance school called the Art Linkletter School of Jazz, Tap, and Ballet, Brandy.
Amazing.
In California. These schools were also a financial success. They also helped further establish the Linkletter brand. In the 1960s, the Linkletters were considered an all-American family. However, things were not always as rosy as they seem, Brandy. By the mid-1960s, the Linkletter's youngest daughter, Diane Linkletter, was struggling emotionally. In 1965, the 17-year-old Linkletter married 19-year-old Grant Conroy. Well, never married someone named Grant. That's the first lesson, Colonel. Together, I don't know where. They pledged their loyalty to each other. They got married because they were going to go away to different colleges. So they decided to get
married. She was pregnant, Timmy. She was pregnant.
Well, we don't know that. The brief marriage was quickly annulled and was not publicized, as both Linkletter and the Conroy's families wanted it to be kept quiet. Art Linkletter promised to help Diane with an acting career if she would call off her relationship with Grant. Diane reluctantly agreed to do so. After the marriage was annulled, Diane pursued a career in acting. She performed in Summer Stock, and in 1968 she appeared in a sketch on the Red Skelton show, Red Skelton being a good friend of Art Linkletter. And then she
didn't she do some porn, Timmy?
I don't believe so, no. Then she traveled with her father to Europe to entertain servicemen and their families. Again, this was the height of the Vietnam War. According to friends, though, although Diane loved her father, she was resentful that he had interfered with her relationship with Grant. And she wanted a career that was not dependent upon the Linkletter name.
See, I picture Grant with a sweater tied over his shoulders,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
smoking a
wearing
pipe.
Some penny loafers coming into the house. I wouldn't like the little prick either. I'd say get rid of him. And you know Linkletter, Timmy, doesn't it remind you of Chain Letter?
Well, I never thought about it, but yeah, kind of. Brandy, won't you tell us what happens next to young Diane?
All right, so by 1969, Diane was now 20 years old and trying to make it on her own as an actress and a model. However, she struggled to find work and refused to take jobs that were offered to her because she was the daughter of one of television's biggest stars.
That would be like one of the colonel's sons trying to use his name to further their careers.
Oh, they do it all the time, Timmy. They do it all the time. Taylor does it at the liquor store all the time.
Oh, good Lord.
They'll go in, and yeah, he won't have enough money, and he'll say, do you know who my father is?
He has a podcast.
My father's a colonel. And then,
he has two podcasts.
My father has two podcasts, damn it. And the guy behind the counter says, I have four. So, I think there's more podcasts than there are people in the United States.
I completely agree,
right now,
yes.
She searched for her own path in life with only limited success. On the morning of October 4th, 1969, Diane Linkletter jumped from the kitchen window of her West Hollywood apartment, plunging six floors to the sidewalk below. She died at USC Medical Center at 10:30 a.m. The preliminary cause of death was given as multiple traumatic injuries, which happens when you hit the ground from six floors up.
Usually, yes.
According to the coroner's statement. An autopsy was conducted that afternoon. At the scene, police questioned 27-year-old Edward Dunston, a friend of Diane's. Edward was in Diane's apartment at the time of the fall, but he was never considered a suspect in her death. Edward stated he arrived at 3 a.m., good gravy, after Diane telephoned him sounding very upset and asked him to come over. She baked cookies shortly after his arrival, and they sat up all night talking. About 9 a.m., Edward told detectives that Diane went into her kitchen and didn't return. Edward went looking for her, how big was her fucking apartment, but failed to reach her as she approached the window, according to the report he gave the Los Angeles homicide detective, Lieutenant Norman Hamilton. She went over to a window, and I tried to grab her, and she went out, said Durston. Diane was found lying on the sidewalk immediately below her kitchen window minutes later. After interviewing...
Timmy, devil, can I tell you a brief story? I had to look it up because I like Bill Burr, a comedian, and he told this story. And this guy had a helicopter tour business for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
30 years, devil. And he retired and turned it over to his son. Now, 5 days into it, he picks up what's supposed to be a couple, but there's only a man. Okay?
Okay.
He takes him out on the tour. Well, about five. Now, this kid's only 5 days into taking on his father's business. It's like, okay, son, you know, keep the family name going. We haven't had any problems. This is, you know, reputable thing, whatever. Just don't fuck it up, okay?
Right.
So, about 10 minutes into the tour, a couple doesn't show up, just one man does. And about 5 minutes into this helicopter tour, the man just leaps out of the helicopter.
Okay.
Just leaps out. Now, it turns out, Timmy, that the man was terminally ill and in constant pain and decided this helicopter trip was how he was going to do it.
That's a good idea.
So he just leaped out. Well, here's the thing, Timmy. They was 500 feet above the ocean.
Uh-huh.
He didn't die.
He's Rasputin.
He didn't die. Could you imagine trying to escape your pain?
Well,
only to leap 500 feet out of an elevator or a helicopter and hit the ocean. You know how much that had to hurt?
Yeah,
that had to hurt like a son of a bitch.
And you have to pay. You have to pay it for the second time.
Well, he did die from his injuries 2 days.
Oh,
later,
okay. But, well, that as happy ending anyway.
There was a happy ending to it. He did die. Not in peace. And he died in agony. But I just, it seemed
warm.
It seemed a little fitting to me. I don't know. It seemed kind of.
Yeah, that's why. That's why you always, you know, you have to keep enough. You have to keep enough Percocet on hand in case you ever decide you want to off yourself, because there's not too many good ways to go, you know.
Well, I mean, the guy, you know, the guy's just, he opens that door and he leaps and he's like, you know what, fuck you, cancer, I'm going out on my own terms, or whatever he had, you know.
Uh-huh.
I'm going out on my own terms, and hits that water at about 90 miles an hour, Timmy, and that had to be like one of the world's biggest belly flops.
Because people like that were watching, it'd be like hitting concrete. I mean, it would, yeah, it's not.
Yeah.
And yeah, but think about this.
But he didn't die.
No, but think about this. He died high as fuck because they probably gave him morphine for the pain.
That's probably true.
So,
That's probably true.
So he did all right for himself. All right.
Hell of a trade-off, though.
Yeah, well. So Diane is a pancake below her kitchen window. And after interviewing Durston at the scene, Lieutenant Hamilton was convinced that the girl had been in a despondent, depressed, emotional state, and that she was concerned with her identity, her career and that she complained that she could not be her own person. Diane's statements, as reported by Edward Durston to police, depict a young woman desperately unhappy with her life and ultimately determined to end her suffering. Durston made no mention of her saying she was feeling the effects of any drugs she may have taken, or that she was experiencing flashbacks to earlier drug trips. These points would later become important in this story, so hold on for that. According to statements made by Art Linkletter to the media, Diane had called her brother, Robert, age 24, just shortly before 9 a.m. in the morning she died, and he was hurrying to her side at the time she jumped. Art Linkletter asserted in subsequent interviews that Diane had taken LSD the night before her death, with her panic over its effects leading to the fatal plunge. It appears, however, that Art was relying upon Robert's account of his phone call with Diane.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
And for that tidbit of information, by all accounts, Art Linkletter hadn't had direct contact with his daughter during the last 24 hours of her life. Edward Durston's account of that made no mention of Diane telephoning her brother. According to Robert Linkletter, however, after he spoke with Diane, he then spoke to Durston, asking Durston if he could handle things until Robert got there. We don't know if Robert Linkletter's account of the phone call between himself and Diane should be trusted. This piece of information is missing from Durston's account and casts doubts on it having taken place.
I know. We got a mystery on our
A hands. Mystery.
Get Scooby on it. Even if the call was really made, we don't know what was said. A suicidal Diane may have chosen to bid her brother goodbye rather than report, as claimed, that she was having flashbacks and needed help beyond what Durston.
I said good day.
But I mean,
right before she jumps.
The weird thing is the guy that's there, Edward, he's saying that she never called her brother. Her brother's saying he had this conversation with her where she's talking about being on LSD.
Well, and Durston.
Durston.
The guy would remember.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. So, whatever. Let's see. So, whatever the truth of the phone call that may or may not have been made, Robert's account of it appears to be the source of all claims that Diane's death was related to LSD. Both the original claims that she had taken drugs the night before and died while on an out-of-control trip, and the later claims that she had experienced flashbacks from a bad trip taken 6 months earlier and was panicked into taking her own life.
I mean, that used to be the rumors, right? That you could take LSD and then, you know, you could be completely off of it and you'd have a flashback and you'd experience the same things you did, you know, when you first took it. But they don't even think that's possible now. I mean, so.
Yeah. But all of this, all these stories changed once Diane was autopsied and the results of the toxicological test became known. Yeah. Nothing unusual turned up in the screening, thus ruling out her having taken drugs that night.
No drugs.
We don't. No drugs.
No drugs? No matter. No wonder she jumped out the window.
Well, we don't know if Diane was experiencing a flashback at the time of her death, or even if LSD flashbacks are possible. That point.
Have you ever had LSD flashbacks, Double?
No.
Never had them?
Okay. No.
Just curious.
Okay. The point is hotly disputed in the drug community. Some say they're real, some say they're an impossibility, ascribing first-person accounts to psychosomatic suggestion. We also don't know if she'd actually...
No, they're real. They're okay. Real. I can tell you they're real.
Okay.
I've had LSD flashbacks, and I've never even
taken
LSD.
That's pretty fucked up there.
Those are,
it is.
Those are non-flashbacks.
No, it's because people around me took LSD, so I'm having contact.
He's
LSD
having flash
flashback.
Forward, which is when before you even take LSD. Yeah. He's going to take it sometime in the future.
Well, here's the thing. We don't even know if she's if she had actually ever taken LSD at any time in her life, since the only accounts... the only accounts that she had came from her family in the aftermath of her death. What we do know is that she wasn't on drugs at the time of her death. There were no drugs in her system.
I mean,
as for whether she was under the influence of LSD through a flashback to an earlier trip, Jesus, we know from Durston's account of her demeanor that her behavior was not consistent with that of someone flipped out on acid.
When I was...
She instead presented as someone despondent and overwhelmed.
I mean, I remember when that happened. I was only, you know, I was only 7 or 8 years old. But I do remember it was, you know, on television, it was all about her doing drugs. And the drugs had caused it.
Well, Art Linkletter, who was with his wife and another daughter in Colorado at the time of Diane's death... never one to pass up a publicity opportunity, claimed within scant hours of the tragedy that Diane had been under the influence of LSD when she jumped, maintaining that it isn't suicide because she wasn't herself. It was murder. She was murdered by the
murder.
She was murdered by the people who manufacture and sell LSD.
Yeah, it was kind of like
bear.
That kind of fit his narrative of... you know, his anti-drug, family value campaign. Yeah.
Art Linkletter made this statement, which would be widely repeated and relied upon as a cause of her death, before the autopsy had even started. He went on to say that he'd known for 6 months Diane had experimented with LSD before. According to Art, his daughter Diane had experienced minor problems 6 months before her death, and she'd sought relief from them through LSD. Oh, that's sad. Instead of relief, however, she found a bad trip, which left her hallucinating long after the effects of the drug should have worn off. Diane's bad trip hadn't been confirmed, or never been confirmed by anyone else, although her father made constant reference to it after her death. Was Diane a drug user with a history of bad trips? And did the remnants of one of those ultimately work to compel her to take her own life? Or did a famous family, which had weathered the shock of another suicide just 3 months earlier, invent a story that would allow them to present their deceased child as a victim of society's ills? Or did Brother Robert, when called upon to deliver horrifying news to his parents, invent a scenario on the spur of the moment that would help soften the blow?
Dun, 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 dun.
Who
then soften the blow when she hit the ground?
Who committed suicide 3 months earlier?
I think I edited it out.
We'll get to that.
Okay. It was
in my part. Don't Don't try to hold.
Yeah, I should have.
Oh, here it is.
Yeah, I should have included it.
I'm sorry.
We gave you way too much brandy time as it was.
I'm sorry.
Don't be trying to steal my script.
I apologize.
You just read what Timmy has written. You just read that prose Timmy has put on.
You paper. Are just a talking head.
Right. Yeah.
You are just a vessel from which Timmy's thoughts flow.
A vessel.
All right.
Vessel.
Hey.
And when Timmy's thoughts aren't flowing through you, you're an empty vessel.
Empty.
Devil.
Zero. Nada.
When your bout of diarrhea of the mouth is over,
nothing.
I would like to know who committed suicide 3 months earlier.
Well, I will tell you if you would just hurry along with your part. I don't know why you can't get to the end of the script.
We're waiting on you, shitbird.
Oh, well, let me tell you what happened 3 months earlier.
That'd be great.
On July 15, 1969, the summer of love.
I think that was 67, by the way.
The family had in. Well, it was close. For me.
That was the summer of chlamydia. But continue, Colonel.
The summer of trick, Timmy. Now, the family had endured a similar loss when John Zweier, 33 years old, he was the husband of Art Linkletter's oldest daughter, Dawn.
Dawn Linkletter,
Dawn,
yeah.
Don't you? Yeah.
D-A-W-N.
Tie a yellow ribbon round the old tree. It's been 3 long years.
That Tony Orlando. Yeah. Well, I don't. Is he in prison or is he coming back from Vietnam War? I never could get that. I guess it was.
I never could get that. I figured. I'd assumed he was.
I
prison.
Think you're right. I think you're right. I think it was prison.
Who writes a song about a fungal infection? Oh, Candida. We can't make it.
You know, I bet everyone. You know, I bet like everyone in that bus wasn't cheering. How do they know that she was supposed to tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree? I mean, he had to be blabbering it to everyone on the bus. I bet they wasn't cheering.
Exactly.
Oh
no, that wasn't cheering.
My God,
it wasn't cheering for him. Knock Please. 3 times on the ceiling if you.
Yeah, that's kind of creepy because he's. He's stalking his neighbor in that song.
Well, and then he's got another.
Wait a minute.
What's the song about
his? Are we talking about Tony for fucking Orlando?
And Don. And Don. Don't forget Don.
Let's get on.
See, people think about Tony Orlando, but they forget about Don.
No, they don't. No, they don't.
Well, they think about Tony Orlando as this nice guy, but first of all, okay, he was in prison. Yeah.
Nobody thinks about
knocked
him.
3 times on the ceiling. So basically, he's saying, I'm up for booty calls. You know, if it's 1 o'clock in the morning, I'll come down.
Bang the pipe.
But let's not forget, what was that song where he has the affair with his secretary? Now, that's just goddamn inappropriate.
I don't remember that song.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to have to look that up, that song. But it was. Tony Orlando was not the most.
Some people might forget that. Colonel, why don't you give us a verse of Knock 3 times?
No, he
knock
already did.
3 times on the ceiling if you want me.
Twice on the pipe.
All right. There. So, John Zweier.
Twice on the floor if the answer is no.
John
Zweier.
Oh, my
darling. Dun, dun, dun. Huh? Means you'll meet me in the hallway. Now, what are they going to do in the hallway? Come on. There's other people trying to sleep, get about their business, and they're out there leaving funky sounds and smells in the hallway.
He's got a point, Brandy.
Oh, my
He's
God.
Got a point.
Nobody cares.
I mean, no, people do care. That's
they
the whole thing.
If you want to talk about Tony Orlando, then Timmy can write a script.
Now, I think the Colonel is right. Our listener,
right now, I want to learn
our
about
listeners
John
care
Zweier,
about things like that. That's why they listen to this podcast, because we go,
John
we
was
dig deep, Colonel.
And the husband of his oldest daughter, Dawn, and John went out and shot himself in the head in the backyard of his Hollywood home. He had grown despondent over his insurance business. Thank you. That's what happened 3 months earlier to this chick's
we,
taking a header.
Colonel,
out the window.
This podcast, now, we dig deep. You got to admit that, Brandy.
We do dig deep.
But
Timmy.
We don't have
we
to
do
dig
deep,
deep through a huge pile of shit.
Continue, Colonel. Please. Continue.
Wow. Colonel. All right. Well, let me get on with this here, since the devil's, you know, getting all antsy on us. I don't know where she got to be, but she can't walk. She can't breathe.
No shit.
What big plans you got for the day, devil, that we're holding you up here? That's what I want to know.
It's Super Bowl
day. I mean, basically, you're crippled, and your upper respiratory tract is breaking down on you. I want you to think about something. We are the highlight of your day.
And we're here for our listeners. Sad. We're here for our listeners, the Colonel and I. We
are, and the I'm listeners here for the don't listeners. Give a fuck.
We're
about
not on
like
here.
That.
Let me speak. We're for not all podcasting for ourselves like you are. You're in it for the money. The Colonel and I are doing it because we care about our listening audience. Right, Colonel? We dig deep.
Exactly.
Deep.
Exactly. Are you going to hear this on, I don't know,
Joe Rogan? No.
You know, what are the big, no. Cereal? The Cereal? Is Cereal no. going to give you this about Tony no. Orlando and Don? Yeah.
Unless they did a Tony Orlando podcast.
You think Dan Tony Carlin Orlando is going to talk about this stuff, Brandy? No.
No, he ain't going to give you this. You're going to miss this.
Okay.
Yeah,
give me a chance to miss it. How about that? Go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, at the 76th Republican mm-hmm. Convention, Tony Orlando
sake.
Got up, grabbed First Lady Betty Ford, and danced to knock three times or tie a yellow
ribbon.
What do
you think about that, Brandy?
I could give
poor
two
guy,
shits.
He was a cocaine addict. You know, I never got this either, because he was a cocaine addict and battled obesity. How do those two go hand in hand?
I used to get
How
him
much you
confused
eat?
With Freddie Prinze. We need to do an episode on Freddie Prinze.
Well, he was on Chico and the Man time, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
So
he
was Scatman Crothers, man. He was cool. The Garbage Man.
Yeah, he was really good.
Oh, my God.
Continue, Colonel.
Yeah. I mean, people forget the legend that Tony Orlando truly was. He recorded with the Yardbirds, James Taylor, Grateful Dead, Blood, Sweat, and Tears. And even Laura Nyro, Tim.
Really?
Off Wikipedia.
Really?
Yeah, he's now, if you want to see him now, you can go to Branson, Missouri.
Branson, Missouri. Okay. You know, we should have a gig in Branson, Missouri. Because I'm sure our listeners would come there.
We should. Everybody's got it. So anyway, we got this wire guy, and he's an insurance agent. And you know, that kind of down, and they're down to begin with.
Yeah, I already talked about that. Go to the second paragraph.
So he popped one off in the side of his head. And whatever the reason for the unshakable conviction Diane's death was drug-related, this motivated her father to become a crusader in the war
crusader.
Against drugs. To me, he was on the wrong side of history. He lectured ceaselessly
Brandy.
For the cause. Ceaselessly. That was a good word, that, to me. Because most people would say he lectured constantly, but not you, Timmy. Not you. You take the extra step. You do the hard work to come up with the perfect word, Timmy.
Ceaselessly is hardly something you had to look up on a fucking thesaurus. Can you please move forward?
What? Okay, Devil, I don't like to. I know you got stuff. I know you're injured, and I know.
Oh, she doesn't have nothing to do,
though. Everything
she's
else.
Just gonna, she's just going to sit on there and watch the Shopping Channel, put her big boot up.
The Shopping
But it
channel.
Sounds like she might be getting a period, too, because you're a little cranky, Devil.
You still get those?
Fuck off.
Well, Art Linkletter's ability to speak directly to others as a grieving father cast adrift. Oh, beautiful, Timmy. In a world of no clear answers yet, and couldn't put this in the devil's pot because she'd mangle it all up. It permeated. Was permeated by a clear and present danger that could strike in any home. That gave him the power to be heard. Now, some have accused him of turning
Tammy. He's got
Diane's I write for the colonel, and I write, you know, I write all the multi-syllable words for him, and the single-syllable words I give to you.
Yeah, this is the difference. This is the difference between you and I, Devil, when you say he's got nothing to give me. My relationship with Timmy and other, and the world, really, is not transactional like yours. See, it's not like...
Like the economics professor.
You give me a C, I'll sleep with you. You know, it for me, it was... See, me and Timmy don't have... You just need to reevaluate how you look at the world, Devil. It's not about what's in this for me. Me and Timmy do this podcast for other people. For the
I've got a theory
the
that she just wears that boot so that she can sit up. She can put her foot up on the stool, hold on to her remote, watching the Netflix.
Yeah.
Eat bonbons. Order pizza.
Yeah.
Drink beer.
Ask Dave to make her a sandwich. Yeah. And you... Because you know, I know Dave. I know Dave personally, and I know since the devil's been down and under the weather, that poor man has worked himself.
Oh yeah.
More than usual.
Take care of her knees. Saying a lot.
You've lost
more than
your
usual.
Mind.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know what kind of caregiver Dave is. So, well, anyway, even prior to his daughter's death, Art Linkletter was vitally concerned with what he saw as the eroding state of family values, and he was actively engaged in lecturing across country on the chosen topic of, and really, I think your name might be in his pamphlet, Devil, permissiveness in this society.
When he gave his presentation, he had a kind of a photo of Brandy up there on projected on the screen.
He did, and it just said permissive. So, in fact, he had been in Colorado to deliver such a talk at the time of Diane's death. Now, his career continued to flourish in the early 70s. However, television was changing as audience tastes began to change. Art Linkletter found his wholesome, family-friendly program was losing viewership because people liked Archie Bunker and... things like that. However, he continued to write and speak out against drugs until his death. So somebody should have just said, come on, I'll give it a rest, man. But he kept going. Now, tragedy continued to haunt the Linkletter household. See, you'd think at this point he'd become pro-drug. Art's son, Robert, died in a car crash at the age of 35. Another son, Arthur, died of lymphoma. You would think that this guy would be like, God damn, give me an Ativan over here. Give me some Prozac. I need some Zoloft to cheer myself up. Everybody around
was that Art was a big drinker.
Probably.
Maybe a scotch or two.
You know, they said he had a dick bigger than Milton Berle.
Nobody said that.
Yeah, they said that. I've heard that. Well, Art Linkletter and his wife, Lois, remained married for 78 years. No wonder the motherfucker was so bitter.
And they drank.
Until his death on May 26, 2010, at the age of 97. Fuck, by that time, he didn't even know who
I'm telling you.
I wonder what time they quit banging. Do you think it was like 80?
Yeah, early
84?
80s. Early in the Reagan administration.
Because they didn't have Viagra back then.
Maybe he had enough. You know, money. Those Canadians are hung, so he had a big dong, I'm sure.
They are. He did.
They say Wayne Gretzky.
Anybody is going to walk among the mooses. Well, interestingly enough, Edward Durston, the man who was with Diane when she jumped out of the window, was at the scene of another famous person's death. Yeah, in the 1970s, actress Carol Wayne, she was a comedic actress who appeared in small roles on numerous television and
she had big
TV
boobies.
Parts. She was a blue-eyed television movie.
She had big boobies, Brandy.
And she was a blue-eyed blonde beauty with big old bazooms.
Jesus.
She's probably best known for her frequent appearances on Johnny Carson because he liked to have the big booby women on there. Yeah. And he liked Angie Dickinson. She didn't have
any boobs.
Is she still alive?
I don't know, but Carol Wayne was kind of a poor man's Angie Dickinson. She wasn't as, I mean, she didn't have a TV show like...
With the big hooters.
A policewoman, but she, you know, she appeared on The Love Boat, you know, shit like that. Fantasy Island.
Everybody was on The Love Boat.
I've been called The Love Boat, Brandy.
It's a big boat. And ladies, man. The Love Boat. Timmy, SS Love Boat.
They call me.
Absolutely
well, by
not.
By the early 1980s, Carol Wayne was dating sometime screenwriter Edward Durston. Now, by most accounts, the couple had a troubled relationship, as relationships are wont to be. Now, in January 1985, Carol Wayne and Durston were vacationing at the Las Hadas Resort and Manzanillo, Colima, Mexico.
Mexico.
Okay. After they had an argument, I'm just making sure I get this right. After they had an argument, Carol Wayne reportedly took a... You know, sometimes Timmy paints a picture and I get
lost. He just wants to admire it. I just admire it.
I'm just overwhelmed by it. And I apologize, listeners, for that pause. It's just the way Timmy it damn near brought a tear to my eye.
It's a thing of beauty.
I'm trying really hard not to be crude right now because my child is over there, but you're ridiculous. And
that stopped you before. After they had an argument, Carol took a walk on the beach. 3 days later, she washed up in the shallow bay. Fishermen found her, Timmy. Now, an autopsy performed in Mexico, and you know those Mexican autopsies can't be trusted, Timmy. Because they've had people, you know, they got those cartels. You come in there, you ain't got no head, and it's like, oh, looks like he died of liver disease. Nothing suspicious here. So anyway, there was no signs of alcohol or other drugs in her body. And plus, in Mexico, you know, it's a pretty high threshold for saying, oh, yeah, there's drugs in her body. She could have done, you know, 5 lines of cocaine. That's just breakfast down in Mexico. So anyway, her death was ruled accidental.
So this is the same guy that was with Diane Linkletter when she jumped out the window. He's with Carol Wayne when she goes for a walk and never comes back, or she's sleeping with the fishes.
Yeah. Now, he died from pneumonia in
1910.
He was never suspected.
Wow.
Or 2010. I'm sorry, Timmy. 2010. From complications from pneumonia, he was 88 years old, Timmy.
And clearly a vampire. 88
years
still
old.
Still banging old ladies in a nursing home.
So we don't know we still don't know the exact cause of the death of Diane Linkletter. What are your thoughts on that, Britt?
Oh, I do know the cause, Timmy. The cause was concrete.
What's your final thoughts on the death of Diane Linkletter, Brandy?
Well, since you two are jackasses, I do want to remind people, because I'm that person, that if you are ever feeling, everybody feels lonely, and we don't want to make light of suicide, because clearly this was a traumatic event in everybody's life, that these two are just very, very callous to this family's suffering because they're assholes.
I'm not callous.
You don't say everyone is lonely. I've never been lonely.
So everybody gets lonely. Everybody has thoughts. So if you are, has thoughts of, you know, just despondent thoughts. So again, and I've said this before, but there's a couple of things that you can do. There's always somebody on the page. We have people from all over the world. Somebody is always on there. Somebody is always there to talk. Somebody is always there to help you. So if you need that kind of help, if you need anything, please get on the page, and somebody will be there to kind of – somebody's there to help you and walk you through it. Or
you're talking about our Facebook.
You can call the National Facebook Suicide. Page. Yes, the Facebook page. Or you can call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, 800-273-8225, or I'm sorry, 8255. 1-800-273-8255.
Or you can call the Dyslexic page, the Dyslexic line.
Can you? Tell me. I'm sorry, what's it called? I missed that.
What? Brandy. Okay. Brandy. So, I'm going to give you a number.
Anyway, so my final thoughts on Diane. Do what?
Yeah, because we rushed. You rushed through it.
Yes. 1-800-273-8255.
Okay. Now, your final thoughts on Diane Linkletter.
I think Edward Durston is a serial killer.
I don't think he did it.
That's my thought.
Okay, Colonel, your final thoughts on that.
Well, I'm going to say this, and I'm not unsympathetic to people committing suicide, but don't jump out a fucking window because you got some poor sumbitch just trying to get to work. You know, he's busting his ass. He's thinking, you know, his life's fucked up, but he's thinking, you know, it ain't a bad day. I got a ham sandwich for lunch and, you know, maybe I'll go back home. I'll get a little bit tonight. And all of a sudden, here comes some woman from six floors up just landed on him. See, you could take somebody out jumping out a window. Don't do it like that.
What do you think was the reason why she jumped out of the window? Do you think it was drugs?
I think the reason she jumped out the window was just the same reason that everybody does it. It's an impulsive act when people get hopeless. And she was hopeless.
So you think it was suicide, not drug related? Then.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't find anything in her system. Mm-hmm. She just was. And I'll be serious about this. This is something that we. We did an episode on my other podcast, Timmy, and I learned a really, really startling and scary fact about suicide. Is that they've learned this from people who have survived suicides, Timmy. 85% of people who commit suicide, they do it within 20 minutes of the thought entering their head. And so by that, what I mean is it's not like people thinking about this for days and days and days. It's generally a very impulsive act. And if that person possibly could have made it through that hour, they would have changed.
Yeah, I'm not 100% convinced of that. When I worked in a hospital, social worker in a psych ward. And they would bring people in, and they would, I mean, it's, you know, the thing that is a miracle is psych meds. I mean, they really are a miracle because you can see people coming in and you wouldn't think they could lift their heads. I mean, they'd be so depressed. And I mean, 2 weeks later, they're walking out, you know, just fine. But.
And, you know. Sometimes, though, Timmy, that they have found that that's
what I was
going to
say.
Time.
It is because they don't when people are totally depressed, they don't have the energy to. It takes a lot of energy, you know, to plan a suicide.
Right.
But the most dangerous time is when they're bouncing back a little bit because they're still depressed,
right.
And now they've got the energy to follow through on it. So, yeah, but. Anyway, Diane Linkletter, I think they used her death to fit the narrative. I'm not saying they didn't believe it. I just think that it kind of fit, you know, the narrative that they were trying to. I mean, you have to remember
Timmy. I think that's how you live with it. I think when people close to you commit suicide, you are always looking for you're always trying to find a reason why this makes sense. Why you're always trying to make sense of it, and you can't make sense of it. So the way that Art Linkletter had to make sense of it was my daughter wouldn't do this.
You know, there was some guilt involved in that too, but you know it did. You know, and it was the late 1960s. You know, the year before. you had the assassination of Martin Luther King. You had the assassination of Bobby Kennedy. You had the anti-war demonstrations. You had civil rights demonstrations. You had the, you know, the Tet Offensive in Vietnam was going on. I mean, all that was occurring right before. So I'm sure, at you know, we think we live in crazy times now. I mean, that was a very crazy period, and so it kind of fit that narrative that, you know, drugs is, you know, destroying the fabric of society, which is what they were promoting. I don't think they intended to use it like that. I just think it kind of felt into their belief systems. But regardless, a interesting story. All right, so we are now going to thank all of the wonderful people who support us on Patreon. If you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs, where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or Colonel.
Or just a wee little
bit. Okay, Colonel, hit me.
Well, we got Louise Siddons.
Thank you, Louise.
Tessie Poor, Kate Byer, Danielle Townsend, Marianne Knight, Adam McWaters, Elaine Baker, Alexandra Alley, Alicia Mincy, the Already Gone podcast with the beautiful Nina instead, Amanda Christine, Amber Anderson, Amber Scoville, Anna Gerline, Andrea Odell, Andrew Frazier, Angela Santos, Angelo Villafane, Anna Garrett, and Anna, we've seen her at DweebCon. I haven't seen her.
She was
a while.
On the
she was
on the Facebook group not too long ago. She said she's going to try to come to DweebCon this October, so that'll be good.
I hope so. Annette Petre, Anon, Becky Trainer, Ben Dobrovich, Brandy McBride, Bridget Bernhardt, Brittany Martin, and Callie Jones, who Callie hasn't been around in a while. She posted the other day. I was happy to hear from her. Christy Lee in Canadian True Crime. Carl Asplin, Carol Elise, Charlie, of course, from Crime Lines. Crazier than Hell Charlie. Cheryl LeBlanc, Chris Lane, Christine Howell, Cindy Clark, and Diane Trowbridge.
Our favorite Michigan couple.
If you know, I think Clark and Diane Trowbridge, if you had to say, pick a couple you're going to spend a weekend with, it'd be Clark and Diane.
Lovely couple.
Except Clark, you know, you'd have to have Diane there. I wouldn't want to spend a weekend alone with Clark because it'd be like, it's lunchtime, Clark, what do we got? And he'd say, lunchtime? Go out, kill something, cook it. I ain't here to raise you. And then, but Diane would have food in the house, so. Anyway, the Comeback Podcast, Daniel Bissett, Diane Student, Erica Kinney, Aaron Turner, Fiona Crisp, Gina Green, Jay Cleveland Payne, John, hope you're doing well, Jahara Lopes, Jamie Dent, Hiro, Jason Dykes, Jeff and Don Chestnut, Jennifer Orcutt, Jennifer Svoda, Jess Watford, Jessica Greeno, Julia Rodriguez, Karen Barnes, Kelly Charette, Kim Stroop, Kimberly Smith, Christine Malachinsky, let's see, Laura O'Reilly, Lydia Fisher, Maja, Marsha Boris, Marie, Marquia Smith, Mary Sheldon, Melissa Montoya, Michelle Johns, the next Mrs. Walters, Timmy, Paula Kimes, The Pleasing Terrors Podcast, Robin Sherrard, our podcast, but I'll go with the Spy Stories podcast.
An excellent podcast.
Instead of rants. Ruth Whitfield, Sarah Bloom, Charlene, Shannon Arnold, Shirley Strapp, Stacey Alsop, Stephen Potts, Terry Stratford, The Vanish Podcast, and They Walk Among Us podcast. Tyrone, Todd Long, Tommy Lane and our thoughts go out to Tommy. Leanne Flanagan, Tracy Smith, Vive, Rebecca L., Jen Lee, Alan Cox, Whitney James, Rudy the World's Most Dangerous Canine, and Dottie. We only had a body count of one in this one.
Well, there was two. Carol Wayne. Don't forget Carol Wayne.
We'll do better next time. Yeah, that was two. That was two. That was three because the guy popped himself.
Well,
in the
and
head
the guy
three.
Died.
So we're all right with that.
Lymphoma. So four.
Yeah, four. Yeah, we had a lot of gruesomeness in this one. So Dottie, we all hope you're doing well. Dottie is the queen of the dweebs, yes. Timmy.
Well, thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Good day.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.